Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Hello, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mike.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we're taking a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of the 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Kevin back again with Mike to talk a little bit more about Conan the Barbarian. In this episode, we're going to be covering from the spot where Conan goes down into the cave to escape the wild wolves all the way up until Conan and the gang steal the jewel and all that stuff from the snake temple.
Yeah, well, yeah. Hey, everybody. Sorry.
What up, Mike?
I fell asleep there for a second. Hey, what's up? Yeah, it's good to be back. We're going to knock out this Conan, this movie.
So Conan has just escaped from them wild wolves, and he stumbled down into this cave.
Although this movie is a classic and everything like that, it was made on a shoestring budget. And, right. I'm sure there was a lot of corners cut.
I feel like this movie sort of, being produced in another country, there's probably a lot less oversight than you would get, like a lot less insurance people around and probably all that worrying about like, oh, this isn't safe.
Yeah.
Like I had just seen where Arnold did all his own stunts, mm-hmm. basically, because they didn't have a good stunt double.
Well,
for his size and all that.
Arnold also talks about how the part where he stumbles into the cave.
Yeah.
He actually got hurt. I think he said he got
hurt his back or something, right?
He got, or maybe I got even a concussion in that scene. So yeah,
he was really bleeding, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's, I think people go to the movies and they're like, oh man, this is a movie. And in the back of their mind, like thinking it's all fake and nobody was harmed in the production of this film. But back in the '80s and even earlier than that, like movies were a dangerous business. Yeah. Like people were getting hurt, even killed, for their careers.
There's a famous story from Terminator, which was done like guerrilla style as well, where he was going to punch through a car window. And they hadn't shot that bit yet, and they had to go do it as a pickup. And he's just like, Arnold is just like, you know, I think I can just punch through a real car window. And it wasn't breakaway glass or anything. And he did punch through it. But I mean, they just had, you know, Arnold punch through a real glass. Like he could have smashed his hand up or cut himself or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
He really punched through.
Yeah. He's just like, I can do it. James Cameron, I can punch through this window.
Well, cocaine,
and they were all right, go for it.
Cocaine was a big drug back in the '80s. So maybe,
I mean, I think he had leather gloves on. They could have put a steel plate or whatever on his hand, but he really did punch through.
Yeah, I mean, try to punch through a glass now. Like, it was made in the early '80s. So I'm sure the glass back then was like paper thin compared to what we have now, but still like nobody's punching through like a glass window.
Well, you're not letting a star do real.
Like shoestring budget, like you gotta get that shot.
Yeah. But so he falls down in this cave and there's like skeletons all around, and it's like, you know, how you'd imagine, I guess, a tomb or whatever, or like they got trapped in there or something, but there's like one dude sitting on a throne and he's got the sword and everything, and this guy like apparently died in like a perfect pose. Cause he's in a pose. The skeleton is in a pose on the stage.
So I don't think that's how he died. I think that's how they put his body.
Oh,
his core.
Oh, yeah. That would make more sense.
Like, you know how like you, King Tut died. I'm sure he died in like a, not a glorious way, like maybe on the throne or like on the toilet or something like that. But they didn't leave him in this pyramid on the toilet. Like I think, you know, Krom, you know, he passed away and they placed him there. Like they placed him in a
so
majestic.
We gotta talk about that because Conan says Krom when he sees him. But then the more I started thinking about it, I'm not sure if that means that is supposed to be Krom on the throne or if that's just like an expletive, like, oh shit.
I see what you're saying.
You know?
No. Yeah, I agree. I So
I think Crom is being more ancient.
Well, also Crom is a god. So how could that possibly be Crom in the flesh there?
Well, there's a lot of religions even today that their deities, like they believe was one day a flesh and blood man that walked the earth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, I think
example, but
I think Muhammad and and Buddha maybe as well. Yeah.
So I think that he was trying to say Crom, like I've run into my God. Like, I don't think he was like,
that's what I thought.
I don't think he was like, holy shit. Like I just ran into
you this. You think it was like, this is Crom?
Yeah. Cause he could have just said, holy shit. You know?
Yeah. True.
So, yeah, but I think that he thought that it was at his actual, but I mean, Conan at this point in the movie, like Conan had just been on that wheel of despair or whatever it was called.
I mean,
this guy doesn't know.
He was a slave. Like he just escaped.
He don't know a lot. Like he's like, he's country grown, you know,
I got you.
Like, he ain't not a lot of education.
No street smarts.
Yeah. I mean, and he had been bred to fight basically. So it's obviously the first thing he runs into this kind of mystic or magical or whatever. He's going to think that.
So you think God. He thinks it's Crom even if it's not?
Yes. I think he thinks that's his actual God. Yes.
Okay. So he finds like a kick-ass sword with the body, like bangs it and all the rust falls off or dirt or mud or whatever that was.
Well, so when he finds the sword, it's actually kind of cool because he takes the sword out of Crom's hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skeleton kind of like leans over and almost as if he's passing on the sword to Conan.
Doesn't he kind of fall to pieces?
Yeah, he kind of falls down and it's like, like the ghost of Crom is now free and he's passed on all this to Conan through his sword.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really some great symbolic shot right there.
I think you're right. And so he comes out of the cave and all the wolves are still gathered around and then I never noticed this before, but then cut to, he's like walking into town or whatever. And he's like wearing the wool skins.
I totally noticed
like the
that.
Fur.
Yeah.
I never noticed that before watching it this time with the commentary on.
No. Yeah. I totally was like, oh yeah, he just killed all the, and he's wearing he's probably got like wolf slippers and wolf underwear.
Can you imagine even one dude with a sword? It'd be hard to take down a pack of wolves.
Yeah, that was a pretty big sword.
Yeah.
And so you take one swipe at a dog and that's that dog's ass. So it's always kind of funny because they never show the scenes where he's skinning the dog. Like, would that have been
it would have taken some time, right?
Yeah. Like he had to kill them all. Like there was maybe five or six of them.
Yeah.
So he had to kill them all. He had to skin them all. He had to tan the hides and everything. Like he didn't.
It's like a month later.
Exactly. Like he didn't walk out of there like 2 hours later with this like coat of dogs on. But they never show that in the movies, do they?
Nah.
That, which is fine. It would be like 6 hour long movies.
They skip us ahead to like the next action scene where he comes upon this like hut or whatever, and there's a mysterious sexy woman there like in the doorway, and she turns out to be a witch, of course, but she like lures him in.
So, okay, you say witch, like,
don't you think?
Witch? Yeah, no, I agree that she's a witch, but like, why witch? Why not a sorceress or why not a...
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, obviously she's something. I totally see what you're saying, but like, how do you make that distinction? Like, I always think of witches as like the pointy hats and the crooked nose.
See, I think of them as like that person who's trying to lure the little kids into the whatever, into the hut to make them into a stew or something like that. Which is I don't know what her game plan was with Conan. Maybe she was just thirsty.
I don't know either. She definitely wanted to entice him to come into the
I would have come into the hut too.
Yeah, she wouldn't entice him to come into the hut, but there was like she wanted to give him some information. Like she was like, well, I know what you're looking for or something like that, but the only way you can get that information is if you sleep with me. So Conan ends
I think
up
she says that to every guy though,
probably. But so Conan ends up sleeping with her and then she turns into like this witch. But does she know the end game? Does she know that she must die in order for Conan to pursue his goals? Like
she probably didn't realize that Conan was Conan, you know, like that this was,
she's a sorceress though. Shouldn't she be all knowing? Like, couldn't she have put some bat wing into like a potion and seen this guy coming from a mile away? And cause she knew he was coming.
She was waiting for him.
Yeah. I think she even says like, you were foretold to come or something along those lines. So it's like, does that even mean that she's working with Dulce Doom, like on the slide? Like,
she mentioned Snake at some point, and Conan was like, "Snakes? Did you say snakes?"
Yeah. So, it's a it's a cool scene because of what happens, but I don't understand her motivation. Like, if she wanted to kill him, why didn't she just kill him? Like, she could have easily just, you know, put him out.
I think she wanted to get it in
before she had dinner.
Yeah. You know,
snack and dinner.
But they were having like some freaky hot witch sex, though. Weren't they? Like, it was wild.
It was. Yeah, it was.
She was whatever, so doing her thing, thrashing around.
I think I was 11 when I saw this first.
Dude, I was way young when I saw this. This was like one of my earliest memories of my life.
Yeah.
Is my dad sneaking me to let me watch Conan on TV, but they probably cut this bit out of the one I saw.
Well, I'm pretty sure I saw it on HBO. Like, I would go over my aunt's house. Yeah. You know, she had HBO and I would sneak it or something like that. And that's when you're 11 and you see a scene like that, it's pretty memorable.
That was like just the beginning for this movie. Had a lot of those scenes.
Yeah. They're are we even halfway? We're not even halfway through the,
she like mid sex, she like transforms into a beast or something like that. And Conan sort of freaks out and tosses her in the fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's just it for her.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't much of a fight or anything like that.
And then she, I don't know, she turns into like a spirit or something. Like
She like sort of cackles and flies away or something like that.
And then
is that a ghost or something?
Yeah. And then as soon as she leaves, he's like, Crom. Now, see, when he says Crom that time, I think that was like, holy shit.
That was wild. Yeah.
So after that, I think he spends the night there. Like, he's like, oh, okay.
It might be the next day. Remember if it's still night, but he comes out and like finds the dude like shackled up outside.
I'm 100% sure it's the next day. Like, that morning.
You got it.
He's like, oh, well.
You know how it is. You knock one out and then you want to just go to sleep.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, well. Then he goes and goes back to sleep. And then he wakes up the next day and that's where he meets Subotai.
Subotai, that's Jerry Lopez, famous professional surfer and friend of John Milius.
I don't know a lot of professional surfers. Like, I didn't even know that, what's his name? Jonathan Lee was a famous skateboarder before he became like a famous actor.
Oh, Jason Lee.
Jason Lee,
It's weird, right?
Yeah. So, we'll say that Jerry Lopez was a famous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so Milius was like way into surfing culture and stuff like that. And I think the movie he had done just before Conan was like a surfer movie.
What, Big Wednesday?
Big Wednesday. Yeah. So I think he ran with a lot of those guys. And the story goes like that they were using him as screen tests, or they were like, we want a guy who's like Jerry Lopez, who has that sort of attitude or way he carries himself. And then they're like, well, why don't we just cast Jerry?
Well, so it probably doesn't. I don't know exactly what Jerry Lopez is as far as his ethnicity is.
Yeah.
But he looks
gotta
like
be Latino, right?
I would think because of Lopez, but he doesn't look Latino to me. He looks a little Asian. So
he had a unique look.
Yeah. So I wonder if they're going for that kind of like, you know,
Mongolian.
If they're going for that look.
I think a lot of the movie was inspired by that Mongolian
kind
of look and culture and attire.
Well, even the witch had like a Asian look to her.
I feel like they were trying to make everyone in this movie look like some race that's vanished from the earth, you know?
Well, we had talked about Dulce Doom when they created his character.
He had straight hair and blue eyes.
Like,
and
black skin, blue eyes, straight hair. Yeah. So they were trying to say that this is,
I don't know,
the future, or this is like an age of man that we're all joined together type of thing.
So this guy, Subotai, he tells Conan that he's a thief. I got the impression that he's been lured in, that he himself was lured in by the witch, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think they boned down as well?
I don't know.
I just love the thought that like these two are Eskimo brothers.
Yeah.
Right off.
I have no idea. I think I
got the feeling she like sort of, that's probably how she like entrances everybody or whatever.
Well, I could see that, but I don't think so, because I think that she was probably more attracted to Conan's strength
than
she was to Subotai. I think she was going to just straight up eat Subotai, like use him as like food. And then she was
probably there trying to rob her.
Probably. Something. Yeah. And then I think she was just going to. I don't get that sense. I think that Subotai, like you said, was probably just going to rob her or something like that. And then he got called. That's the like a Hansel and Gretel type thing. Like, that's the kind of sense I get from that.
Yeah.
Because, why would she have just like put him out back like that? Like,
yeah, she chained him up to save him for later.
Yeah, she almost had him like in a refrigerator almost like like lamb chops for dinner tomorrow. But something
like that. Conan and Subotai kind of hit it off right away. I feel like this is the most that. At this point in the movie, this is the most that Arnold has spoken. Like for the whole movie is the conversation that they're having. Because prior to that, like really his only lines have been to say Krom and then that thing about the driving the enemies and hearing the lamentations of the women. Like that has really been almost his only dialogue the whole movie.
I have to say Arnold Schwarzenegger for like his first like 4-5 movies got paid bank for like saying 5 words.
You think about Terminator?
Terminator, I mean,
he
also
probably didn't say more than 100 words in the whole movie.
The whole film. And like this movie, he didn't say a lot either. And I mean,
kudos to him for finding ways to make himself a star without really having to even do much.
I think
talking,
paid $250,000 for this movie, which the budget was $3 million.
Yeah. He also was going to get like 5% of the take or whatever. So yeah, they were grooming him to be a star.
Yeah. And the thing is like, Arnold wasn't the only like big muscle man around during those days. True. Like, so what was it about Arnold that attracted these movies to him? And I knew he had won Mr. Olympia like 6 or 7 years in a row, but still he wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
So
they were Americans and all that.
Yeah. Thing. What was it about Arnold? It was just,
well, Lou Ferrigno was working too, but like there's a big gap between being the Incredible Hulk on TV and like being a mega movie star. True. Like Arnold, you know,
but even having said those two, there were still others. Like you know how they always talk about somebody having it, you know? Yeah. I think Arnold just has it.
Like a star power, star.
Like we were talking earlier, like Arnold slept with his maid, you know, and everybody was like, oh, you know, like nobody really, like
he's cute.
He's not, he's not like run out of the town for that, you know?
Yeah, he gets a pass.
Anybody else would be like crucified.
And even he's like, not. Like I've said on previous podcast, he's not a great actor, but he just gets you to buy in somehow.
So you say he's not a great actor, and I agree. Yeah, he's not going to go.
He's just not a polished guy. You can tell he's not been a trained actor. But
I will say this about Arnold is that he gives it his all. Even if he's not a good actor, he gives it his all when he's in it. So there were a couple of scenes that come later on that you could tell that he was really like in the moment.
Mm-hmm. You put him in the right role, like Terminator or something like that, and he's perfect for that.
Yeah, but we'll get to that.
So they're talking a lot about religion and eating what looks like fried chicken. Like everybody has a different religion, it seems like, in the movie. Like this Subutai's talking about how he prays to the four winds.
Yeah.
And then Arnold's like, or Conan is like, well, I pray to Krom. He's the best and all that. And like,
and Subutai,
Krom pisses on your four winds.
Yeah, he like lives under my God. Yeah. A lot of religious undertones in this film for like a sword and sorcery movie.
So I just learned, or at least as far as IMDb is concerned, that all of Subutai's dialogue is dubbed by some other actor. That's what IMDb says. If so, that dude should get an award for best dubbing, because it really seems like it's coming out of the guy who you're seeing on camera.
Yeah, whoever dubbed that did a great job. And until you just told me like a couple of minutes ago, like I never knew that.
And it kind of sucks for the guy who you don't get to see, because he gave a good performance.
Yeah, so you don't know the guy's name?
I don't recall. I mean, I'm sure it was on IMDb, but I don't remember the name.
Whoever did that did a great job.
So now we got Subutai and Conan, and they're traveling from city to city. It hasn't really been explained to the audience like what their mission is
at this point.
I mean, we can guess that it's Conan is on his quest, but they didn't have a conversation where they're like, I'm looking for this, will you come with me?
No, yeah, I think that they're just two guys, just like young guys, like out to just explore,
find
life
and all that.
Just find whatever. There are no direct mission. I think Conan in the back of his mind is like, I'm headed towards this thing. Mm-hmm. But they have no real mission. And that's obvious when they get to towns and they start acting up and like getting drunk and ruckuses. And
how much time do you think is passing while they're just going around from village to village?
Not years, probably months.
Months.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
I was just wondering, because it seems epic. Like, you know, as it's happening, there's the music playing and all that. And I'm sure it takes weeks to move from one place to the next in this time.
Well, I don't know how that works. Back in those days, were cities this closer to each other because you were only moving by horse? You know, you weren't flying, or you weren't.
Half the time, it seemed like they were just running.
Yeah,
like on foot.
Which reminds me of what was Legolas and
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, how they just run everywhere. So they were like, I think I saw this thing where Milius wanted Arnold to be more athletic in this movie.
Yeah.
So Arnold, before he started filming, like went on this like crazy workout regimen, and he went from like 240 to 210.
Okay.
To
make,
so
he dropped some of the bulk.
He dropped some of the just some of the weight. So it would make a lot more sense that this guy could run like that. I could see Jerry Lopez making like those marathon type runs. But yeah, Arnold at like 240, like you'd be like, that dude ain't running like 2 miles.
Tear your knees up.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that they probably were just going from like town to town, like these outskirt towns and just
toy stealing and
just whatever, making their way through life, like no real purpose, like most, you know, like most people.
I mean, I feel like Conan probably always in the back of his mind, he's like looking for the bad guys who killed his clan and all that. Now, it seems like a few points they come along and they're asking people who they encounter, like about the double snake thing. Like, have you seen this symbol or whatever? It's two snakes, like facing each other or connected or whatever. And finally they come to a town where there's like one guy who points them towards a tower and says like, this tower's got snakes or something like that. It's like a big tower in the middle of this town. And what's funny is he says like this group's spreading to every city, and he drops this line just like it was nothing, where he says, 2 or 3 years ago, it was just another snake cult. I'm like, are there a lot of snake cults? Like, it was just another one of those snake cults, you know.
Gotcha. So now let me ask you this. I did a little research. Is that John Milius that played that character?
No, Milius had a part that got cut out where he was like selling lizard on a stick.
Okay, all right.
And this, but this guy was like some other behind the scenes guy, like the set decorator or production designer or something like that, I think.
All right, because I had it written down that that was the director, but no, so you're saying
I just love that line, makes me laugh every time. Just it's not meant to be a joke, but just like the a few years ago it was just another snake.
Just a
like there's a lot of them, you know.
Oh, I'm back in those days. I'm sure there were.
Yeah, probably. So now they want to go check this tower out and see what's going on. Maybe rob it, whatever. And these, they come across these women who, I don't know if they're like priestesses or witches or what, but they're like, you know, give us some money and we'll whatever, say some prayers to protect you from evil. And then Arnold or Conan, in typical Conan fashion, is like, they're all sluts. Do you remember that?
I don't.
It's like, that's a random line to just throw out. They're all sluts.
Well, wasn't he like super wasted at this point?
I think they were drunk and maybe on drugs.
Yeah, I think Arnold was like, so again, like kind of going back a little bit, Arnold, if you really think about it, Arnold has like no like formal education whatsoever. So this
you
guy,
mean Conan?
Oh, well, yeah, sorry, okay. Conan. He's like a street dude, right?
Yeah.
So like, he has no like idea like who these women are. He just knows like women equal sluts type
and
of thing.
And everything he learned is probably like from slave owners and like guys who are running gladiator fights who are not like sophisticated, you know, cool, whatever people. I think that he and Subutai are both like definitely high as they're stumbling through this town.
There's something. Yeah. Because isn't this the scene where he famously punches a camel?
Right. He's sort of like backing up and he backs into a camel and turns around and just punches the camel in the face.
That scene almost looks non-scripted. Like it's like, it was almost like we were just like going to film right now, roll and then
do whatever comes natural.
Like Arnold, the actor, like accidentally bumped into this. Cause I don't see where, you know, usually you see where there's a guy on a horse and he like pulls the reins on the horse.
Yeah.
The horse takes the dive. I don't remember seeing that in this scene. Like I remember him just like punching the camel, like, and it looked like it really went down.
Yeah. When he punches the camel, it looks so real.
Yeah.
And then there's like sort of a delayed reaction. And then the camel just sort of drops out of frame like that. Yeah. If I was betting money, I'd bet he really punched that camel.
Yeah, I would. Yeah,
I think there was very little supervision. Humane Society was not there.
I take that bet. Yeah, because I think they. Well, we'll get to it again later. Like somebody, like an animal, really died on set. So,
but so they get to the tower, and then that's where they meet Valeria, who's played by Sandahl Bergman.
Yeah, is it Valeria or Valeria?
I don't know. Does Valeria. We'll say Valeria. You know what's weird that I also just learned today? They never say the word Valeria in the whole movie.
Yeah, I saw that on the.
That's crazy, right? So they said there was like a scene that was edited out, maybe where she introduces herself. but she just doesn't, her character really doesn't have a name.
Well, I think as far as that's concerned, interesting that her name is very close to like Valkyrie.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of a,
that was definitely the inspiration, I think, for Milius.
Yeah. Yeah. A very Viking, like strong Viking woman.
You can see it. I mean, she's tall. She's like
buff. Very muscular. Like, and she was a dancer on all things. Like, you don't think of dancers as being like that muscular, that big.
You could tell though from her movement, like that she was so graceful.
Very fluid.
Yeah. That she has some, definitely like that was her background. Was
I mean, can't you imagine if, like, let's say they had made a Wonder Woman movie back then.
She would have been dope.
Absolutely Wonder Woman.
She had it going on too.
Yeah.
She was sexy.
Yeah. I mean, she was just like super ripped, you know?
She's a thief as well. Mm-hmm. And like, she's getting ready to break into the tower and she tells Conan and Subutai that they're not prepared to break in. Like, they're ill equipped, I guess.
Yeah.
But then
because they didn't have rope or anything.
Yeah.
Have anything.
So they sort of make a deal that they'll break in together and split whatever they come out with. Right. So, they toss the grappling hooks or whatever. Man, I love grappling hooks. That's just, it is so comes in handy in movies. You never think about it in real life.
Batman would be so proud.
Yeah. And Predator. They had their grappling. I just love a good grappling hook.
How does she make that tall? I mean, that was a pretty tall tower. Like, how do you make that tall all the way up there?
I don't know.
Like, you have to shoot an arrow up there or something like
that. Yeah, maybe it was something like that. But so they're climbing up and down, like they're climbing up the tower. When they get to the top, they sort of pop in and like these sexy priestesses are preparing for some type of ceremony. Mm-hmm. Now Valeria tells the guys like that the high priest is like second in command to Thulsa Doom. And I don't know if we're supposed to know who Thulsa Doom is yet. Cause I don't think that they have identified him.
Yeah. Didn't they, when he killed,
did they say his name?
Well, I don't know if they said his name, but I think we
could guess. Maybe.
Yeah, I think you can probably guess it.
But I don't think they've ever explicitly said like that's James Earl Jones.
Well, we know that there's like the connection with the snakes,
right?
We know that's probably who they're talking about.
We can guess they're in the right place, right? Yeah. Conan and Subutai, they split off from Valeria to go look for, I guess, whatever they can find.
Yeah, because they don't have like a. I don't even know if they know what's in there. They just they just see this like giant tower. Like, oh, there's got to be riches. I think like Valeria and gold or
somebody must have mentioned that they had jewels.
Yeah, they know that there's something in there that they can go get. So yeah, they're just kind of going to search.
So they find a chamber with like a giant jewel in it and other stuff, and there's like a huge monster snake.
Yeah,
and there he's all coiled up or whatever.
This is where the sword and sorcery part comes in, because this snake would never live in the snake in Harry Potter. Like, it's the size of that snake. In fact, I think it might even be bigger.
I think it's bigger. It could swallow Conan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's a huge snake.
Yeah, like, it's massive.
Yeah,
and then Valeria, she like takes out this like super hot priestess and steals her robe, which is like begins a theme, because I feel like. That happens a lot in this movie of people stealing other people's clothes.
Oh yeah.
And going undercover or whatever. Times, But that happens in a lot of movies in general, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just like a go-to.
Yeah. To steal somebody's clothes
to like, knock them out, steal their clothes. And then you're in the sky.
I guess I'm thinking of the thing that pops in my mind is Indiana Jones.
Oh, Indiana Jones does it at least once a movie.
Yeah. Where he knocks out the SS guard or whatever, and he steals his clothes.
But so this one woman, where Valeria is, like, there's some sort of ceremony going on, and this one woman strips down, and it seems like maybe some type of sacrifice is going down.
Yeah, I think at that moment you don't know exactly what's happening. You think they're just kind of praying, but it's revealed later that it is a sacrifice.
And we see the big high priest or whatever, Rexxor, who we saw in the opening scene when Ben Conan's Davidson. Family got taken out.
Yeah,
this dude. Played by Ben Davidson, former NFL player, and he's a giant of a man.
Yeah. In the commentary, they were saying how hard it was to kind of cast people because they wanted to have people that were actually bigger than Arnold. So I don't know how tall Arnold is, but like I think Ben Davidson is like 6'7" or something like that.
6'8", something.
And I think Sven Olsen is like 6'5".
Yeah.
James Earl Jones is like 6'4". So it makes me think that all of them are taller than Arnold.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I don't know how tall Sandahl Bergman is, but she looks close.
Yeah.
Like maybe they had her on platform shoes or something, but she's
no, Jerry Lopez woman. Is definitely
a little guy.
The little guy.
And then Mako, who we get later.
Yeah.
Another little guy. Mm-hmm.
So Conan and Subotai are down there trying to steal some stuff, right?
Yeah.
And what are they? They take like a diamond or something like that. Like
there's like a like really a pink, big jewel.
Almost like a Pink Panther like diamond.
Yeah,
like
it's that. A mass, like a size of a pool ball.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massive. Like if it were out there today, I mean, we're talking like $10 million, yeah, right?
Easy.
So as Conan's leaving, he sees like the snake charm, like this.
The medallion.
The medallion, like the green like snake charm medallion that he's been looking for.
That's the symbol he's looking for.
Since he was a kid, right? And he takes it with him, and taking it, he doesn't realize that the snake is
waking up. I think once they popped that big jewel out from wherever it was, that sort of triggered the snake.
Well, no, I think it was Conan was, as he was trying to steal all the jewelry, he was sweating. And so his sweat was like dropping onto the snake, and it was like dropping in his eye. And so you can see the snake's eye open. And Subotai is like, well, where the hell is Conan at right now? And
he's back there. He's like staring at that medallion.
So Subotai goes back and he's like, oh shit, the snake is awake. So he starts like shooting it with arrows and then he throws Conan his sword.
So he sort of stabs the snake through the head when they're fighting. And the snake is making all types of noise, which doesn't seem very snake-like. Like you think of snakes as just being quiet or hissing or whatever. And Subotai is like pumping it full of arrows. Like,
yeah.
And those are like real arrows like that they were shooting into the fake snake. No, they were.
What? The only reason I don't believe that is because
you think they're lying when they tell the story.
Yeah, I mean, Schwarzenegger was right there. How are they going to shoot like, real they're arrows?
They were saying that it was Milius shooting them because he was like the best archer.
Yeah, I don't believe that story at all.
You think they were lying?
Yeah, because
they could be because it seems far fetched.
Well, Arnold was like literally right there. So how could they shoot real arrows? At
I
the
don't
snake?
Know. That's yeah, just another example like where it's like. Were they playing that fast and loose on this movie?
Yeah, I don't believe that story one bit. Like, and it's one of those kind
I'm
going to
buy it, man, because they all seemed, well, if not, they're all agreeing to keep telling the lie.
So you think that Arnold was wrapped up in this puppet thing, and you think Milius was off camera shooting real arrows?
I bet he was just off camera, close enough that it'd be pretty hard to miss badly enough to have hit Arnold.
So I'm still going to say no, that didn't really happen.
I want to believe it, but maybe
it's just
beer talking, but I want to believe it.
It's a great story. It's a great, like, back in the day, right? Because I always think of Milius as
Hemingway.
Yeah, as like a Hemingway type character. Yeah, like
larger than life.
Yeah, like a manly man, like smoking cigars and drinking cognac while he's got a cigar in his mouth while he's drinking like some Remy. On the director's chair, right?
Yeah.
That's the way I picture him filming his movie.
Drunkenly shooting arrows at his star.
Yeah, like grabbing patting the secretary on the ass as she goes down the way. But no, I don't believe that they were shooting real arrows at Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't think, so
I
funny
just
enough
want
though.
Desperately to believe
no,
it,
so. But so funny enough, I think Arnold was so young in his career that if they had come to him and said, dude, we're going to do this, I think he would have said yes to it.
I think he's up for whatever.
Yeah, I think he was like, I think he's all in. Like he's like, whatever it takes to get this movie made, I'll do it. But that I don't know. I don't believe that. At this time, this is when that sacrifice happens.
Yeah.
The girl drops down into the well and. So here's the funny part. Like she starts screaming, but is it she screaming because she like broke her leg? Because she dropped from like two stories.
I think she saw the snake in them fighting or whatever, and like that's what she seemed to be screaming.
Yeah,
right? But like that's definitely what a broken leg.
Yeah, well, she's screaming because the snake's dead, not because she just broke her leg.
Yeah,
like she falls from like two stories.
And what's weird is, man, if you're gonna sacrifice me, like don't make me jump and break my legs and then get eaten alive by a snake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all kind of goes into this theme of like flesh being stronger than steel that we see later on in the movie. The fact that they could talk this girl into even making that jump to sacrifice herself is
they got people brainwashed
big time. Yeah. Big time.
The woman screaming, though, I'm freaking out and all that like alerts the rest of the cult members. Everyone sees Conan and Subotai down in the pit and they're like, ready to attack or whatever. That's Valeria saves them.
Yeah,
basically.
She does. Yeah. Rex sort of looks at her like, who are you? You know, like he's like, and that's when he figured out that she's also in the plot. And then I think she like kicks a couple of priestesses away.
Yeah. She's like busting heads.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she wraps a rope around a guy's head.
She knocks a dude down.
Yeah.
The
and
pit,
then she
right?
does that quick shimmy up the rope. Mm-hmm. And then, she's also almost the most badass. She's definitely the most seasoned, pro in all of the three. But so she has that line where she's at the top of the tower and they really don't have a way to escape.
The story goes that dude who she knocked down the pit was like the stunt coordinator for the movie. And they said like that he had a big crush on Sandahl and was like trying to impress her. Uh-huh. And he really did break his leg when he did that stunt. But they did say that later on that they wound up dating each other.
Oh, so really?
It worked, I guess.
That's cool. I'm skipping way ahead here, but like, I think I appreciate about Arnold Schwarzenegger is that they were talking about one scene that's like later in the movie, and it was just like some random stunt person that did something in the scene. And Arnold totally knew who that guy was.
Yeah.
I thought that was really impressive.
He was like a down to earth dude. I feel like he still kind of is. Or like he just winds up buddy buddy with James Earl Jones. Knew, like,
who this random stunt guy was. I thought it was pretty cool.
And then I think it's like Milius's best friend or something.
Yeah. I think that says a lot about why Arnold is the way he is.
Right. Why people like ride or die for him. Mm-hmm. Valeria's like taking people out and so showing she's got serious skills. That's when she gets them up to the top of the tower somehow. And then they're going to jump off. And that's when she says, like, do you want to live forever? Yeah. And just jumps off the tower. She's a badass.
Yeah, a line that will come back to haunt her.
She lives by, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's definitely the Valkyrie of the movie.
I feel like there could have been, right after this, like a scene that was cut out with Rexor crying over the dead snake, like the like the dude who keeps the Rancor in Return of the Jedi.
I totally see that. Yeah, I don't know if that would have been a little too much humor added to the movie, but I can totally see that scene.
But so then it's like party time. They're playing with all their jewels and everything that they got out with.
I've always thought this scene was interesting because they couldn't have gone far. Like
they're in the town, they have to still be in the same town, right?
Exactly. Like they robbed like the biggest
towns aren't close to each other.
They robbed like the biggest bank in the city, right? And then they go to the pub down the street to party. Like it doesn't make any sense to me. Like should they be like at least like I feel like they should have had a scene where they bought some horses or something like that, and they take these horses and they gallop out of the city.
Yes.
And then they have the scene.
I never thought about that. You're 100% right.
Yeah, then they have the scene where they're like partying.
They are 100% still in the
same town.
They're
definitely in the same town.
It's the same night, no doubt.
Same night, same town. I think they're like 2 yards away from where it all happened. Like
they're just like, they'll never catch us.
They're not even worried about security or any of that. They're just like partying down. And they are partying. They're not like hiding or any of that stuff.
And Conan and Valeria are like staring at each other like it's on.
Yeah. So I think that was a really good scene because it kind of, they're falling in love.
Yeah.
And Conan, you never thought that Conan was capable of falling in love. And I think Valeria has been looking for this all her life. Uh-huh. So I think that was a really poignant scene where the two of them, because it wasn't like the other, it wasn't like the witch was real kind of like sweaty and like guttural, or it wasn't with the with the slave girl where it was like he was overpowering her or anything like that. It was like they were both in tune with each other. So I thought that was a really cool
scene. I feel like those like adventures would definitely like get you in the mood, you know, like having just had a big adventure together.
Yeah
whatever. But yeah,
just if you had like this giant score like they just did
on the commentary, that's where Arnold drops that line where he's like, boy, I was getting laid a lot in this movie. Like typical Arnold.
Yeah and again it's like, ah, Arnold.
And when they're having their sex scene, like Conan/Arnold like seems like he's like enjoying, not even just enjoying like the sex, but enjoying doing that scene.
This guy is like a young actor. He'd only made like maybe 5 things.
Yeah,
prior,
and he definitely had not done love scenes before this movie.
So now somebody's like, "Oh, you're gonna pay me to do a love scene with this woman, like
who's like
woman?
Gorgeous?"
Yeah, like sign me up. Yeah.
So and they're like feasting on meat and stuff like that, like Brazilian barbecue or something like that. Like in between fuck sessions.
Yeah, they're enjoying the fruits of their labor, without a doubt.
That's the end of this chapter of the movie for us. We'll pick up with the morning after on the next episode. So you're going to have to come back for that one.
Okay.
All right. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you in a few.